All right, I want to say hello to everybody at worshiping at all of our venues here this morning. And I trust that whether you're in the gathering today or you're over at our East York campus, that this will be a day when all of us will sense God's goodness and God's grace as we conclude here our 40 days of prayer, which I don't know about the rest of you, I've really enjoyed getting together with my small group. I've really enjoyed these times of worship as the Lord has just met with us, I think, in great ways. I hope that it's been a life-changing time for all of us, no matter where it is that we've met. One of the things I want to do as well as we wind down these 40 days is to urge you and your family to be a part of next Sunday night's concert of prayer. And so what we're going to be doing, you'll gather together at your campus, and you will spend time worshiping and praying together as a congregation and in groups. We'll be connecting together as well as a community. And our goal next Sunday night at 6 o'clock is to be two campuses, but really worshiping together as one church, coming together, listening to each other, trusting God to speak into us, speaking into each other, asking God for direction as well. And I know a lot of planning has gone into these concerts of prayer, and so you're not going to want to miss it. We hope you'll come. We hope you'll bring your family and your kids as well, because we have a children's component to this as well. So we hope that next Sunday night, God will use that in a great way in all of our lives. But this morning, we want to conclude our 40 days of prayer by talking about those times that we don't like to talk about, those times when we pray and seek God's face, and for whatever reason, God answers no to our prayers. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33 and verse 3, God gives us a promise that I think is right from His heart. And here's what God says. He says, "Call to me and I will answer you. I will answer you." He doesn't say, "I might answer you." He doesn't say, "If I feel like it, I'm going to answer you." He doesn't say, "If I'm in a good mood or a bad mood, I'm going to answer you." No, God says that I will answer you. That is a promise right from God's heart, I believe. It will always not be the answer that we are looking for, but God says, "I will answer you." And many, 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 can I make my point anymore here? Many times He says yes. Can I get a witness on that, church? I mean, how many times? Many times. Far more than no, I have received a yes from God. And I want to praise His name for those many, many times. But then there are times when He has said no for whatever reason. And those are hard times. There are a number of examples, by the way, in the Bible of times when God answered no, even to great people of faith. God said no to Abraham. God said no to Moses. God said no to David. God said no to Moses, one of the greatest Christians ever, the Apostle Paul. God even said in one way or another, no to His own Son, Jesus, on the night before He was crucified. And so there will be times, church, when you and I will pray, and we will pray, and we will pray about something, and we will want God to say yes to our prayers. And for whatever reason, God will say no. And those are times that try our souls, are they not, church? Those are times when we're going to say, "God, I know that You are loving, and I also know that You are all-powerful. And so because You love me and because You can do anything You want, why is it that You denied my request?" You ever ask yourself that? You ever wonder why somebody gets a miracle here, but somebody else doesn't get a miracle over there? I wonder why some people get well and other people don't? You ever wonder why some couples get a child and then other couples pray in the same faith, and when it comes to receiving a child, they're heartbroken? Why? Why do these things happen? I want to talk about that today. There's the question. Why does God sometimes say yes and other times say no? And of course, I think there's some obvious answers to this. Like when two people are praying for the opposite thing, God can't answer both, right? Like today, all over the country, there are people who are praying for both the Red Sox and the Dodgers, right? So you knew I was going to get this in here somehow, right? And sadly, only the Red Sox fans are going to probably be happy there. I don't know. Also, we know, of course, that one of the things that happens is that God has given all of us the freedom to choose things. And so we might be praying for, you know, God to break in and make somebody do something. But, you know, my experience is that God doesn't, he rarely makes somebody do something. And so we've got that aspect to it. Furthermore, you know, if God answered all of our prayers, probably nobody would ever die, right? Sometimes you hear people say, well, you know, this is terminal. Well, guess what, church? We are all terminal, right? I got a newsflash for everybody. We are all terminal. We all, in the end, you know, we want to live forever. It's not going to happen. I'm going to live forever. Many of us, I want to live forever, but I want to live forever, not here on this earth. I want to live forever somewhere where there's no more sorrow and no more pain and no more sickness and tears. But there are those times when we will ask God for a legitimate request and we don't see anything wrong with it. In fact, we see a lot right with it, but it makes no sense to our own hearts and minds when God says no. Those are big tests of faith. When the silence of God makes us go, oh God, I just don't understand that kind of no. Why? Why? I want to talk about this today a little bit from God's Word. And what I want to do here is two things. Number one, I want to just offer three. I'm sure there are hundreds, maybe even thousands. But today I want to just offer three reasons why God does say no to us. They're bigger picture reasons, I believe. And then I want to kind of wrap everything up with some takeaways in our lives and to our hearts in light of that. So that's where we're going to go here this morning. And so follow with me here. If you want to take your Bible and go, first of all, to the book of Isaiah chapter 55, an amazing book of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 55. And I want us to see, first of all, here today that there are times in our lives when God says no, number one, because he has what I want to call here a bigger picture in mind. God sees things that you and I don't see. God knows things that you and I don't know, and God has ways. He's got things that he's doing that you and I know nothing about. And so, number one, there are times when God will say no to us when he has a bigger picture going on in the situation. Isaiah chapter 55, amazing passage of Scripture. We're going to pick it up at verse 8, but later on today, you ought to start reading somewhere around verse 4 or 5 because it's really a call to prayer. It's Isaiah saying, hey, you know what? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he may be near. And so he's calling us to be men and women who will listen and seek God. And then he says this to us here as he helps us. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Wow. Now I want you to notice a few things. First of all, I want you to notice there that God has ways, plural. God never has just one way of getting something done, church. Unlike you and me, his options are limitless. And because God's ways are higher than our ways, one of the things that I think is true is that God sees the entire parade of our lives, right? When you're at a parade, you only see what's happening in front of you, right? And that's kind of the way it is with our lives. But that's not how God sees the entire parade of our lives. God sees beyond the curve. Listen, he sees 10, 20 years down the road. God sees the implications of every decision that you and I will make. And so I have it in your notes today. I want you to get this down. Because God sees it all, I don't see it all. Can I get a witness on that, church? You know, sometimes God doesn't answer a prayer the way you and I want because he sees what we don't see. Wow. And I think one of the things he sees is that he sees that every answer, whether it is yes or no, starts a domino-like chain reaction that affects our lives, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and beyond. And sometimes because of that, God says no, because he sees what we don't see. Now, next Sunday morning, we're going to jump right into the book of Daniel. I am so excited about that book. It's been about 30 years since I preached through the book of Daniel, so I'm throwing those notes away. And I always start brand new, usually. Not always and usually the same sentence. I always start brand new, but I'm not even going to look at my old notes because I was like 28 when I preached through. I was like a midget back in those days spiritually. So anyway, we're going to jump into the book of Daniel next Sunday. I'm really excited about it. And Daniel is a story about a 15-year-old kid. Church, a 15-year-old kid who was taken captive and in spite of his prayers, was thrown into a lion's den. A lion's den. Has anybody here ever been in a lion's den? And you know what happened? God said no to his prayers there. And one of the reasons why that God said no to releasing Daniel from the lion's den is because God's plan was to miraculously shut the mouths of the lions. He had a bigger picture, a bigger result in mind. The same thing happened with Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go, right? You know, so they got thrown into a fiery furnace, Scripture says. And God said no to that because, and the reason why is because God wanted to bring them out of that furnace in such a way, Scripture says, that the only thing that God burned in their lives were the ropes that bound them. Wow. And church, listen to me this morning. Sometimes we're going to pray. We're going to say, God, don't let me go through this trial. And God is going to say to us, no, you're going to go through this trial. Because when you come out on the other side, you're going to be free from whatever it is that's bound you. Has that happened to you? The tough times, the difficult times in your life? You've said, God, I want you to spare me from this. And God said, no, I'm not. Because on the other side of that trial, you're going to be free from that habit, from that person, from that fear, from that shame. Listen to me this morning, church. Sometimes God wants us to go through difficult times because whatever has been binding us needs to be burned off and burned away. God has a bigger picture in mind. I think about the Apostle Paul this morning. Scripture says that when Paul went to Rome there, we can find out about that in the latter chapters of the book of Acts, and then we get to the book of Romans. Paul had a desire when he got to Rome. He wanted to preach the gospel in Rome, and I can imagine he wanted to be there in the Colosseum. He wanted to preach to thousands of people there. He wanted thousands of people to come to know Jesus, but when Paul got to prison, when Paul got to Rome, he was in prison. He was in prison. And so he never made it to the Colosseum to preach to all those thousands of people. What happened is that he had to write letters. And he wrote those letters and sent them out to churches. And today those letters have been preserved and we call them the New Testament. Let me ask you something. What do you think had a greater effect, church? Paul preaching in the Colosseum or Paul writing letters that we study 2,000 years later? Glory to God for that. Sometimes God says no because God has a bigger picture, a bigger plan, a bigger perspective in mind. Number two, sometimes God says no because God has a better plan. Sometimes no, God says no because God has a better plan. I want you to go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, God's rock star hall of fame. And it's an amazing chapter of Scripture. You ought to go home today and read it because it is full of men and women who have seen God do amazing things, full of men and women who saw God answer yes to their prayers, and he delivered them in amazing, wonderful ways. But there's also an aspect, beginning at verse 35 of Hebrews chapter 11, where we find some great people who didn't get the prayers that they prayed for. By the way, church, well, let's just read the passage, then I'm going to make a quick comment here. Here's what Paul says here at the end of Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 39. Paul says, these were all commended for their faith. So he's just talked about these great men and women of faith. Some of them have had amazing things happen, and others of them, Scripture says, were sawn in two, were persecuted, were stoned, were living in mountains and holes in the ground. So now he's addressing the whole company now, beginning verse 39. He says, these were all commended for their faith. Wow. Kind of blows the whole health and wealth prosperity gospel right out the window there. How about a church, right? When they say, you know what, if you have enough faith, you'll get whatever you want. And if you don't get it, you're not going to have it. You know what? There's a word for that. It's when you cross a crocodile with an abalone, right? It's a crocabalone, by the way. That's what I'm saying. But here's what Paul says. These were all commended for their faith. You ought to write that one down. You could use that again. You parents, you can use that with your teenagers, right? Okay. Yet none of them received what they'd been promised. What? In other words, sometimes God said no. Sometimes God said no. Look, church, here's the reason why. Since God had something better planned. Wow. For us. In other words, those folks went through some tough times, and one of the reasons why is for you and me, 2,000 years later, God had a better plan. He's teaching us today. Glory to God. From their tough times, so that only together with us, in other words, we're all in this together. We all have a testimony. We all have, you know, a story of God being at work, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Wow. And so these are men and women, and God said no to them. And yet, look at what it says there. God is commending them for their, he's commending them for their faith. And the reason is because God had something better planned. Church, this is a hard one, but listen to me this morning. Sometimes God says, I'm going to answer your prayer, but not in the way you want. And it's because I have a better plan. A better plan. Now, I could give you 100 stories about this, and probably you could do the same thing for me. I'm just going to tell you one little small story about Karen and I that we saw this. You know, a number of years ago, it became clear to us that we kind of wanted to move into a little bit of a bigger home so we could entertain and have people over and stuff. And so my wife had her eye on this cute little Cape Cod house. She always has kind of wanted a little Cape Cod down through the years. And so we put an offer on it, and it was accepted, but it was contingent on us selling our previous home. So we got going on all that stuff, and we were really looking forward to moving into this little Cape. And then suddenly it was taken out from under us, just like that, when somebody came in and offered them cash. We didn't have the cash, and so they offered them cash, and they sold it to them. And you know, I got to just be honest with you today. I was unhappy about that, and I complained to God about it. I remember one day walking on my road just saying, God, why? Why did you allow that? My wife has followed me everywhere in ministry. Why couldn't you have just let her have that house? I was struggling with that. It might seem small to you, but it was big to us at that time. Well, you know what, church? If we had not lost that house, we would have never found the house that we live in Spring Grove, which we love, which ended up being far better for us in so many ways than we could have ever imagined. Oh, my word. I can't believe I was so small to complain like that to God when God had such a better plan. Wow. Sometimes God says no because he has a bigger picture. Sometimes God says no because he has a better plan. And then thirdly today, church, sometimes God says no when he has a greater purpose. Or because he has a greater purpose in mind than just answering your request in mind. Sometimes he has a greater purpose, and there are many, many greater purposes that he has, but we find one of them there in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter is talking about the various, he calls them earlier in the text, fiery trials that we walk through, difficult times, times when God is allowing, you know, the world, the flesh, and the devil to just come out of us. And look at what Peter says about this. He says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, church, which is of greater worth than gold. Church, you know what? My faith was more important than my house. You know that back then? Your faith is more important than the car maybe you want to get or whatever. Look at what he says there. Of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in the praise and the honor and the glory when Jesus Christ is revealed. And so I want you to think about something here today. God will never let your prayers interfere with your purpose. You ought to write that down. God will never let your prayers interfere with your purpose. God doesn't make anything without a purpose behind it, even an abalone, right? And one of his purposes, look at what he says there. One of his purposes is to test and strengthen our faith. And so anytime you and I feel that things are going too slow, anytime we feel that things aren't working the way we thought, those times when we are just banging our head, you know, against a wall, listen to me, church, remember that God has a greater purpose in mind for you and for me. And we see this, I think, in so many. I think we really see this when we're in financial stress. So we're in financial stress and let's say, you know, we realize that we are there because of us, because of maybe poor choices that we made, and so we overspent, we get in debt, we want to get bailed out. What's our preferred way of being bailed out of financial stress? Anybody know? The easiest way, right? The lottery, right? How many people bought a ticket this week because they thought $1.6 billion? Yeah, I don't owe that much to anybody. I think that'll get me out of it. And then, of course, we rationalize that, too. We say, you know what? I'm going to do so much good with that. All right, I'm going to pay everything off over at COD. That better be the first spot you put your lottery money, FYI, church. No, we have all these ideas of what we're going to do because we think that's, you know, that's the... No, listen to me. It's in your notes today. God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. Are you with me on that, church? Does he want you to get out of debt? Yes, but he doesn't want you to get right back into it, so he's probably not going to let you win the lottery. What he's going to do is he's going to make you grow through it, and he's going to do it slow so that, I mean, I've learned down through the years when God has to teach me something painful, he doesn't do it overnight. He makes it nice and slow, so that I grow the way he wants me to grow. Aren't you glad today that God hasn't answered all your prayers? I mean, if you've ever been to a high school reunion, you should thank God that he hasn't answered all your prayers. Can I get a witness, church? How about that? That high school hunk of burning love is now a big fat tub of goo. Praise God for that. You know, when I was younger, you know, I wanted to be a politician. Just kind of shows how young and dumb I once was. Right? Actually, it's a noble career. I love politics. I love the news. I love watching all that kind of stuff. And sadly, because of the position I'm in, I try to keep my mouth shut about that stuff today. But that's kind of what I thought. Well, wouldn't it be great to be involved in government and doing all that kind of stuff? And then one of the things that happened to my life is that God allowed a series of tragedies to come to our extended family. And one of the things I could see was the value of pastoring and shepherding people. It wasn't a part of my plan, but God used some very tough times in my life to call me into the ministry. And today I look back on that decision, and I am so glad that God had a different purpose for my life. Glory to God for that. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Everybody ought to have these verses underlined or yellowed or whatever it is you do in your Bible or your pad or whatever it is that you look at. Look what Paul said there. He said, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Wow. In other words, no matter what it is that you and I are going through, it is not bigger than what God is doing in our lives in the process. And so, Paul says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In other words, God is doing things that we can't even see. So let me give you a couple takeaways here this morning to help just kind of wrap all this up from your pastor who prays for you, who has a heart for you. Number one, takeaway. There are some unseen things that you're not going to understand until you get to heaven about a church. There are some problems that aren't going to change. There are some situations that are going to leave you scratching your head. Last night, our family was at the wedding of my nephew, whose father just died a couple months ago. It was bittersweet. It was sweet, but there was a bitter twinge to it. I'd love to know why. My brother wasn't there. I don't know. I'm still wrestling with that. I'll probably never understand why till I get to see him face to face. So we all have these things. And some of them we're just going to have to wait to heaven, figure out why. Number two, sometimes you're going to suffer for the benefit of others. Isn't that what was happening in Hebrews chapter 11? That's one of the things Paul was saying at the end there. Hey, what happened to them 2,000 years ago, it's being perfected in us today. Wow. And so think about that. I think this morning about how many ministries have been started down through the years because God said no to someone. How about a church? I mean, how many? Let's say somebody has an addiction. They prayed for instant delivery of the addiction, and it didn't happen. And so, what they do? They started a recovery ministry. Or somebody walks through a great time of grief in their lives, and they end up starting a ministry called Grief Share. Or somebody walks through a very painful divorce that they didn't want to have, and so they end up starting a ministry called Divorce Care. Or somebody prays for a child, and they didn't get that child, and so they end up starting an adoption ministry. I think of Pastor Don and Donna over there at East York on Thursday, every other Thursday night. You know, they've started that group together where people can talk because for whatever reason, God hasn't come down and just swooped in and all of a sudden, you know, it miraculously took that addiction away. That's how it works. God wants to take your greatest pain, church, and use it to bless other people. Don't waste your pain. Don't waste it. Sometimes you're going to suffer. Sometimes you and I are going to go through tough times, and one of the things God wants us to do is to use that in the end for the benefit of other people. And then there's a third takeaway. Almost everything we learn almost everything we learn, number three, we learn from pain. You ought to get that down. Number three, takeaway, almost everything we learn from pain. Are you with me on that one? I mean, I don't know about you, but I've learned almost nothing from success. I've learned almost nothing from being, and I would rather be on the mountaintop of life, for sure. I like it up there. How about you? But you know what? I don't learn too much up there. I learn a lot in the valleys. I've learned tons in the valleys. Now, Satan's going to go after you in the valley. He is. He's going to shoot you in the valley. Satan is going to say to you, listen, God doesn't care about you down here in this valley. He's not real. It's foolish of you to pray. But listen to me this morning. Don't walk away. Do not walk away from God when God says no. You need Him. You need Him. You need God in times when God says no more than you need Him when He says yes. Wow. And the reason is because He has a bigger picture in mind. He has a better plan. He has a greater purpose than what we can see. And so what have you been praying about that up to this point hasn't happened? Maybe you want to be married. It hasn't happened yet. Maybe you have a prodigal child who's walked away and they haven't come back yet. Maybe you're here today going through a divorce. You might be here today in an unhappy marriage. You might be thinking to yourself today, I'm at the end of the story. No, listen to me this morning. You might be at the end of the chapter, but if you're still breathing, the story isn't over yet. Because God has a bigger picture. He has a better plan. He has a greater purpose. Oh, those times when God says no. Ugh. And yet when we fix our eyes on what is unseen, that is what gets us through. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.